Your name?
Marilyn Shaw.
And you're with the Baltimore Algebra Project. Marilyn Shaw, can you first describe what that is for folks who may not know?
The Baltimore Algebra Project is a nonprofit organization. We tutor in math, and we also advocate for funding for Baltimore City Public Schools.
How'd you get involved with them?
I was a tutor, and then what they have is called Friday meetings. I went to a Friday meeting, and they had an advocacy committee, so I joined it, you know, because I was wondering why I was reading books that were 10 years older than I was. So I was like, what can I do about it? And then I was introduced to the advocacy committee, who are fighting for funding, so it only made sense to join that committee. So,
Marilyn Jacques, can you describe your campaign that you're working on right now?
Okay. It's the campaign to stop the construction of $104 million that the state is planning on building on Forest and Monument Street here in Baltimore City. So it's different organizations working together to stop the construction by doing different like rallies or writing the governor, following the governor around to figure out why he thinks it makes sense to build a jail instead of educate our young people, putting money into education.
$104 million is a lot of money at any time, and certainly with the economy the way it is. Why do you think he's putting $104 million to locking up more young people as opposed to, you're saying you were reading a book when you were in high school that was older, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. What's with these priorities?
I think incarcerating people, period, that the jail system is nothing but a big business, I think they're going to profit off of the jail. I think that's where their priorities are now, is making money for themselves, especially in the United States where we live in a capitalist society. So,
last night, Martin O'Malley was reelected as governor. Formerly, he was the mayor of Baltimore. Are you surprised at the actions that he's taken?
No, because the Baltimore Algebra Project sat down with him as mayor, and we asked him about, we made a checklist of what he agreed with as far as funding for Baltimore City Public Schools, and he didn't keep his promise then. He was a liar then, and I'm not surprised that he's still doing, I guess he's a liar now, that he's not looking out for the invested interests of the young people. He wasn't when he was mayor, so as governor, he's still not. So I thought he would as governor, but he didn't.
The city of Baltimore is owed money from the state of Maryland, and you have as the governor of the state of Maryland, the former mayor, Martin O'Malley. So you think there'd be some propensity to deliver that money, but what's the state with regards to that?
Well, I know that when we sat down and talked to the Martin O'Malley as mayor, he blamed it on the governor. So it's a whole lot of blame. Like when he was in the city position, he was saying, well, the state is not giving us the money. And now that he is governor, we're like, well, you have the you're in a position to give us the money. Why aren't you? So I think it's just his invested interest is not where it's supposed to be at the end of the day. So I can't really explain, because as mayor, he was just blaming on the state, and now he's in a position to give us the money. He still doesn't. You know, it's still something that bottles me. I'm still wondering, like, why? So.
Marilyn Shaw, you mentioned earlier that before we started the interview, this idea of building a youth detention facility, a youth prison, has been done before 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. What were the effects then? And people are saying it would help with crime. Do you think that will be the case?
No, because, right, the detention center was built with the intention to stop crime in the community. That detention center went up for about 5 years now, and had the crime rate has not decreased. So to build another detention center to say that, you know, it's going to help decrease crime and get criminals, I'm going to be, a lot of politicians are saying now, being hard on crime, is not the answer, because all it's doing is, it's not doing anything. It's not making the crime any worse in the community, any better in the community. So,
how would you go about decreasing crime? What are some other alternatives as opposed to building another youth detention facility?
Well, I would definitely, most young people commit crime because they don't have money to feed their family, or they don't have money to feed themselves. So why don't we give young people jobs so that they won't have to commit a crime to get the money necessary to feed themselves and their family, or to go out and do things they're not supposed to be doing? Not only jobs, more programs for young people, to support young people. Because I know that when a young person goes to jail, all they're going to do is reoffend. It's a known fact. They're going to, you know, reoffend. They're not going to be any better. Like, a jail is not a place where a young person should be to say, this is our tactic to rehabilitate you. No. So, give a young person a job, give them programs to support them, and put more money into education. So,
how old are you?
I'm 21.
And how long have you been with the Baltimore Algebra Project?
About 5 years.
What have you learned in your 5 years of organizing?
As far as being an organizer and talking to people, that the community feels powerless, and that we need to take back our power as a community, and we need to come together and work together as one mind so that we can make change. And if we keep giving up our power, then we are going to remain powerless. So I guess the biggest thing I learned is the community needs to take back its power, because we're powerless now. At least that's what we think.
Explain that. You're saying people are not, in fact, powerless, but that's the mindset.
Well, when I say that, a lot of people I talk to say, you know, for example, the $104 million jail, people are saying, you know, they're going to build that jail anyway, and there's nothing we can do about it. But at the same time, the building, the construction of it, the actual construction has not started. So there is something we can do about it. We can say no to a jail. You live in this community. Say, I don't want a jail in my community. I live here. But because people feel like, you know, a lot of people in the community are poor, so they feel like, I don't have money, so how am I gonna make any type of change? And I'm not in a position to make anything happen, because living in the United States, where money is a main priority, it's like people think that they need money to make any type of change, but you don't. It takes the people, the power of the people, but people feel so powerless. I just don't understand. I guess the reason why is because of their social status.
Have you seen examples of people going from powerless to stepping up and taking part in actions and being more engaged?
Well, a lot of the young people I work with, when I talk to the community about the $104 million jail, just to inform them about it, they're like, you know, are they really building a jail? And I'm like, yes. So we have an action coming up, and I'll tell them about the action. So for them to even consider coming to the action, I think that's a step, because they don't even speak out about the do's and don'ts about what they do and don't want in their community. So for them to speak out and come to an action, at least, is to me a step forward from where they were.
In your 5 years of organizing, I'm sure you've met with a number of politicians. What have been some of the responses you've gotten from them?
About the jail?
The jail and other issues. How they responded to sitting down with young people, making demands on them.
Well, they give their they act just like politics. Politics. They'll say, yeah, of course we'll sit down with you young people, and they'll promise a meeting with us. And they, most of my experience is that they don't keep their promises. They won't actually sit down with us. They will make that statement for the cameras, that they'll sit down with us, and they, you know, they want to speak with the young people, but actually they don't want the young people's voice. They don't want the young people's opinion. I think that a lot of adults think that they, you know, that the young people don't know what they're talking about. You know, that we don't know what's best for us. So it doesn't. So that's my experience with the politicians I've been encountering.
Madeline Shaw, I want to ask you for your final thoughts. And I also just wanted to read, before we started the interview, something you said, and I want to read it back to you. It's a pretty striking quote. As an organizer, my biggest challenge is to get people to recognize the power they do have, end quote. Can you elaborate on that as you just a bit more, and any final thoughts that you have?
The people of this community or of any community need to know that anything that happens to them, that they should be able to make, or anything that happens in that community, that they should make sure that they're part of that conversation to make any type of change. And the only way you're going to make any type of change is to recognize the power that you do have, right? By utilizing that power, by standing up and utilizing your voice, saying that I do have the power to make change. I don't want this in my community. I do want this in my community. But you have to recognize that I do have the power. It takes the power of the people to come together with one voice to say, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. And to be consistent and to be firm on this, on what you say. But you have to recognize that power and say, I do have it, and be confident when you say it. You know, I have the power, and this is how I'm going to use it.
That brings up one final thought, which is, I think a lot of people will be willing to speak out once, but somehow, since we don't have these conversations about how difficult it is to organize, the idea of just how difficult it is to make change leaves people not prepared to be willing to endure a longer fight. And so it's not just that you want people to speak out once, but again and again and again. And is that difficult to convey to people?
Yes, because people want everything like a microwave, like done in 60 seconds or done in a minute and a half. So that's, yeah, to tell people that this is a long fight, and you have to, and you got to be in it to win it. And if you got to be in it or out, because it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It might not even happen a month or a year from now. This is a long struggle that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of manpower and a lot of probably restless nights. But if you want change, you know, then you have to be consistent, because it's going to take a lot of time, but it's worth it, because you're taking your power back. So
thanks so much, Marilyn Shaw.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.